Well, welcome to the last service of the year, and what a year this has been. I'm Angela Bice. I'm one of the pastors here at The Crossing, and it's my honor to be here at this last service with you to reflect on the year that we just came through and to look ahead to the year coming. Listen to this from Daniel 3. Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make this decree. If any people, whatever their race or nation or language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb and their houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. There is no other God who can rescue like this. Well, those are the words of a pagan king recorded for us in Scripture. He was talking about three men who served the living God, who he watched trust their God to the point that their lives were literally at stake and all seemed lost. And the conclusion that King Nebuchadnezzar came to was, there is no other God who can save like this God. Well, we'll come back to that in just a minute, but first, we're going to reflect a little bit on this past year and see what we can learn from that. We're going to look ahead at the year to come and see how we can prepare for this coming year, and then we're going to get some advice from a good king in the Old Testament that I think will help us do both of those things well. But first, will you pray with me? Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity that we can be together from wherever we are today. We ask that you will be present with us, and we ask for you to speak to us. I pray that all the words that I speak will bring pleasure and honor to you. I pray that every heart listening will be receptive to what you want to say. And may we have hearts that trust you, like three men did thousands of years ago at the threat of their own lives. So we ask you to be with us at the end of this year and on this day. Amen. Well, I have a small group of friends, and every year at this time of year, we take time to reflect and think back and think about what we want our word or phrase to be for the upcoming year. And we each come up with our own. And now this isn't like, oh, my word's going to be patient because I was so impatient this year. And by golly, I'm going to be more patient. It's not that. It's more of a word that will remind us, that will encourage us, maybe challenge us. But it's a way for us to look forward and say that we're going to remember. We're going to be intentional this year. For example, for years, I had the same word, and my word was sustained. I was living in a really long season of waiting for things to get better. It was a hard season that I thought was never going to come to an end. I needed to see some things happen. But I wanted sustained to be my word because I wanted to remember that it was God who was sustaining me. Not only that, but I wanted to intentionally notice how he was sustaining me. What I learned is that if I was only focused on the problem, if I was only focused on how hard the season was, I would miss all the ways that God was showing up in the waiting. He was showing up in life as it, in my opinion, wasn't ever meant to be. So sustained was my word for a long time that kept me focused. Last year, this past year, my word, it's two words, was be still. And that comes from Psalm 46. And it's talking about an inner stillness. Now, keep in mind, when I chose that word, I had no idea what 2020 was going to look like. But listen, that phrase served me well because it was my reminder to get quiet before the Lord. And regardless of what storm was happening in my heart or outside of me, I could get still and quiet before him, and he would give me perspective, and he would give me peace. So be still was my word from last year. And now I've been praying about what my word for this coming year will be. And I think I've landed on it, but I'll share that in a minute. But as we look back, as we're reflecting back on this year that is unlike any year we've ever lived before, I think a lot can be revealed about our hearts in how we lived it. And unlike probably any year ever, our experience of this last year has been so extreme and sometimes extreme in different directions. For example, I know that there's been incredible loss, incredible heartache that some of you have lived, some of my closest friends. I've got three friends who have buried a parent in the last 3 weeks. There's been devastating loss. I've heard people say that they've never experienced such loneliness in their lives. While I know some of you would give your right arm for 5 minutes alone. In fact, my own daughter just had a birthday recently, and she is one of those young moms with small children in her home. She lives far away from where we are, and she's working from home. Her husband is working from home. They've been in quarantine for a long time. And for her birthday, her husband gave her 24 hours in an Airbnb away from all of them, and she could not have been more thrilled, and she came back so revived just from some time alone. So some of us are suffering because we've had too much time alone, and some have had no time alone, and we've always got people on top of us. It's just extreme experiences. And then I know some of you actually might feel a little guilty because it's been a good year. It's been a productive year for you. Some businesses have gone well. Weddings have happened, babies have been born, new careers have been launched, graduations have happened, and it's been a productive year for you. But wherever we are on that spectrum, I think looking back can reveal a lot about our own hearts, especially this year. And what I've come to realize is how I respond to conflict is telling. For example, I can be just going along in my life. My prayer time can be good. My relationships are great. I feel like I have great faith. I'm engaged. I'm encouraged. And something can happen. A disruption can happen, and it can totally derail me. All of a sudden, I'm anxious. I'm being short with people. I feel disappointed in God because He owes me better than this. I feel inadequate, overwhelming, anxious, not sleeping, all those things. I can get derailed because of a disruption in my life. What I discover is that unlike Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I don't always respond with great trust in my God. Well, why is that? That's what I want us to look at. Like, why do we often have these reactions? Why is my faith and peace affected by the circumstances in my life when I can trust in this most faithful God? So when disruption happens, and by the way, if this has been a good year, a productive year for you, you've still been living in a world that's disrupted. There's still just a level of anxiety all around us. And so we want to look at how have these disruptions affected us? So how is your soul at the end of this year? How is your heart? What questions do you have? What questions has this season brought up for you? And you may want to ask yourself some questions as you reflect, like, why did that make me so angry? Why is this relationship suffering? Why am I so disappointed with God? Why am I not weathering this well? Or if this has been a good year, your question might be, man, there is suffering all around me. Why hasn't my heart been moved? Why don't I care that there are people around me who are hurting? But we need to pause and ask ourselves these questions so that we can learn as we move forward. Usually for me, at the root of those questions, at the root of my reactions that are not always positive, it is a trust issue. I have to pause and realize that my heart has moved to trusting something other than my faithful God. Now, back when that pagan king noticed the trust that those three men had, he said, "There are no other gods like this one." Well, that's because then they worshiped lots of gods, and they really believed that those gods could save them, could rescue them. That's why it was so shocking to him to discover that there's not one that does it like this. And so, although we don't bow to idols anymore physically. We don't have other little gods that we worship. Like them, we tend to put our trust somewhere else. We tend to let things begin to be what we find security in. Listen to this from Dan Allender. When we fail to trust the real God, we do not escape trusting someone or something. Trust, like breathing, and indeed like worship, is inevitable. It is not that some people trust, some worship, some breathe, and others do not. We cannot fail to trust God without turning our trust to something that becomes a new God for us. Now, listen to that part again. We cannot fail to trust God without turning our trust to something that becomes a new God for us. So what can happen is, without even knowing it, our hearts can gradually move to trusting other things besides God, these little g gods, or we could call them false gods. And we can be trusting God, but these little gods can move in and take a piece of our heart or a piece of our trust. I mean, some examples are, you can trust in yourself. Like, it's been hard, but I can figure it out. I know how to do this. I can get through this. And your trust is in yourself or in your job or even in your ability to work or your health or your healthcare system or your political party or your insurance plan. I mean, we can subtly and really not, we don't choose to do that, but we can subtly and unconsciously start to put our trust in these false gods. And then what happens is, we don't even realize it, but we're leaning on this, like a wall that's freestanding, and we're putting our weight on that. And when that thing topples over, it rattles us. And that's where anger comes from, and that's where disorientation comes from. And what if we pause and realize what's happening? It's because we had put our trust in something besides our living God. So where is our trust? What does this reveal about my heart? What does it reveal about what I'm trusting, how I respond? So I would encourage you, as you reflect about maybe a word for yourself, or you reflect on this year, to ask that question: what have I trusted? What was I leaning my weight on that was not worthy of my trust? And then as we look forward to the new year, we can ask ourselves, and how can I move forward with great trust? Like the three guys we read about. I mean, even if it's going to cost me my life, I'm going to trust him. How do we do that? Well, here are some words that could be your word for next year. I came up with a few that I think might serve us well. The first one is faithful. We want to remember every day that God is faithful. Again, this can be hard in my own strength. When my resources and my energy are running short, I need to remember that God is faithful. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." He is faithful. Peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." How quickly peace can elude us. When something happens, that's probably the first thing that goes, is that inner peace. But we can have inner peace regardless of what's happening in our lives. And this verse tells us how to do that. It says we trust our God and we fix our thoughts on him. So we could meditate on the word peace this year. A word that may be good for you is generous. If it's been a good year for you, what if you were more generous with your time, with your energy, with your resources? What if that was a word that you kept in the back of your mind? How can I be generous as the world is still somewhat chaotic? If you're not yet a Christ follower, a good word for you this year might be curious. Stay curious. Stay curious about who Jesus is. Ask us your questions. We love to get your questions around here. So that may be a good word for you. Remember is one of the words I considered this year, this upcoming year. And all through the Old Testament, anytime God's people face something challenging, an enemy, a famine, when something was they knew was going to be hard, they would pause and remember. They would remind each other and they would say out loud, they would remember what God had done for them in the past. And so we need to have intentional ways of remembering. That's one reason that I journal my own story, because I can forget my own story. And when I go back and read it, it gives me hope and faith. When they would pause and remember, as they remembered how God was faithful, it would give them hope and courage for what they were facing ahead. We can do that by telling each other's stories. This is why, for example, we did the cardboard testimony, if you were here a few weeks ago, because when we hear other people's stories, we're remembering with them. We're remembering that we serve a God who is faithful. That was so special. So many of those cardboards, they had what they were hoping and waiting for, or the hardship they were facing at one time, and they would flip the cardboard and you'd see how God was faithful to them. A lot of those stories I watched, and I got to watch those real time. I got to watch some of those play out. And I have been blessed to witness people's whose lives went from death to life, from heartache to learning to trust again, from broken to redeemed, from wounded to healed. And it helps us to remember, which takes our eyes off of our circumstances and onto the God who is faithful, who we need to remember. So one way to remember would be to go back and watch those cardboard stories so it can give your heart hope. A couple weeks ago, Tim talked about a story of God's faithfulness, and it was from 2 Chronicles 20, and it was the story of King Jehoshaphat. In 2 Chronicles, he gets news, really bad news, that a vast army is coming for him, and it's close. And the Bible tells us what's going on inside of this king. It says that he was terrified, and he begged God for guidance. Now, I want to take a look at what he does next. Instead of getting the troops ready, what he does is he calls his people to fast and pray. And then he gathers them and he prays this beautiful prayer right in front of his people that I think will help us as we move into this new year and as we reflect the year behind us. So I want to take a closer look at his prayer. In verse 5, it says, Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord, and he prayed. O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. So he starts his prayer by remembering who God is. And he remembers it out loud in front of all the people, and they're remembering too. So the first thing he does is pause. He pauses to remember who his God is. And then he says, Oh, our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people Israel arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple to honor your name. They said, whenever we are faced with any calamity, such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. Now he remembers what God has done for them in the past. He remembered who God was, and then he intentionally remembers what God has done for them in the past. And did you notice, he said, when there was war, plague, or famine. Does that sound familiar at all? Because to me, that sounds a lot like political unrest, illness, financial instability. It would seem that God's people have lived years like 2020 before. And he goes on, and now see what the army of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are doing. You would not let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt, so they went around them and did not destroy them. Now see how they reward us, for they have come to throw us out of your land, which you gave us as an inheritance. Oh, our God, won't you stop them? And so here he presents the current problem. He remembered who God was, remembered that he's been faithful before, and then he says, but here we are. Here's the problem we're facing today. And then I love how he ends his prayer. We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help. So finally, this king confesses his own inadequacy. He confesses that he doesn't know what to do in front of all his people. He confesses that without God's intervention, this thing is too big for them. This is a model for prayer that I think can serve us well. Whenever we feel the panic come, whenever we get bad news, instead of rushing to fix it or rushing to try to figure it out on our own, instead of letting that little G God step in, what if instead we paused? We remembered who God is, remembered what he's done for us before, and we confess that we need his help. You can remember who God is even from the Psalms. If you don't have it in you, then go to the Psalms. Pray those right out loud and declare who God is. Remember by declaring it. Psalm 103 or 93 or Psalm 145 would be good places to start to do that, to remember who our God is. Listen to this from Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He will keep you, will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. That would be a great psalm to pause and say, I just need to remember who he is. Or what helps me often is to put on a worship song, put on worship music. It just kind of realigns my heart. And you can sing right out loud with it, or you can just let the music and the words wash all over you. And then remember what he's done for you in the past. For you, or you can just remember what you know he's done for others in the past. You can go to God's word. Once again, all these stories are recorded in here so that we can remember. Go and read about Gideon or Moses or Elizabeth or Mary or Paul and Silas in prison and remember what God has done for his people. And then present your current situation to God. Tell him what's going on. Ask him for help and ask for peace. In fact, if you're having trouble trusting him, be honest about that. One of my favorite hymns growing up is a hymn all about trust. The words are, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to trust, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I've proved him over and over. I'm remembering that he's been there for me. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more. And that last line is one that I pray often when I realize that my trust is waning. I say, Lord, would you give me grace to trust you more? I realize that I'm having trouble. Would you remove my little G gods? And in his presence, admit that you need his help, like that humble king did. Admit your own inadequacy. Now, this might mean that you have to admit it to yourself, because self-sufficiency is such an enemy of our heart. It's such a strong false god that can sit on the throne of our hearts. Admit that you're inadequate. Admit that this vast thing that has come for you is too big for you. And then name those small g gods that have taken root in your heart. What have you been trusting? Admit that to him and let him help you replace that with his own self. This is a very brave prayer to simply say, God, I don't know what to do. This is too big for me. I need your help. So what vast thing has come for you in 2020? What vast thing do you see maybe on the horizon that could still come for you? What do you need to remember about who God is, or about what he's done for his people in the past? What have you forgotten about who he is, what he's like? Or maybe you've never fully discovered what he's like. I mean, he's not a genie that comes out of a bottle and fixes all of our problems, but he is a faithful Savior who loves you more than you can possibly imagine. He is faithful. He does sustain. We can trust him. Well, those are all good words that we could use moving forward in 2021. Faithful, bless, peace, notice, generous, curiosity. But my word for this year is grace. It comes from 2 Corinthians 12:8, where Jesus says, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness." You see, things in my life, in some ways, are still not as they should be. I am still waiting for certain things to be resolved. And I need his grace to see me through that. Vast things have come for me. Here's the rest of the story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Go back and read that if you don't know their story in Daniel 3. When they were trusting God to the point that it might cost them their lives, they didn't know the end of the story. They didn't know how God was going to be faithful. They didn't know how long they would wait for him to be faithful. They thought they really could lose their lives that day. But they trusted him completely. In fact, they said as much to the king when their lives were threatened. They said, "We don't really know what our God's going to do today. We just know who he is, and we know what he's capable for. And here's what we know, and here's what you and I can know. Regardless of what's coming for me, he's going to see me through it. He's going to carry me through it. I will never be left in my own strength. As long as I call on his name, he is going to walk me to that. I'm not promised a certain outcome, but I am promised Jesus. And you are not promised a certain outcome, but you're promised Jesus. And his promise is that he will carry you through whatever vast thing comes for you. So I wonder, as we reflect back on this year, and listen, I know it's been really hard for many of us. I know it's been devastating for some of you. But here's what I wonder, and if we can think about as we reflect. As people watched us live this hard thing, what could they conclude about who God is, about what God is like, as you trusted in him, as I trusted in him? King Nebuchadnezzar watched, and his conclusion was, there is no God like this one. So my prayer for us as we move into 2021 is this: regardless of what's waiting for us there, regardless of what vast thing is going to come for us moving ahead, here's my prayer, that a watching world can look at us and can say, wow, I haven't seen a God that sustains like that one. I haven't seen anything that gives peace like your God. I have not seen generosity anywhere but how your God gives and how he compels you to give. I have not seen faithfulness anywhere but how I see God in your life being faithful. Because here's the deal. For people who don't yet know our living God, for people who don't yet know a Savior came for them, they don't yet know Jesus, all they have are small g gods. All they have are the gods that our walls are going to topple over when they lean on them. All they have are gods. All they're putting their trust in are things that are going to fail them. And I promise you that at the end of the day, they are looking for more. And the way they are going to see that is through us. Just like the king saw it through those three men. Those three men didn't know the end of their story, but trusting Jesus meant more to them than survival. It meant more to them than their own comfort. And they could have thought that day that their story was just about them. They survived that day, and that is a good story. And it is a good story for us to go back and look at. You see, I bet that those three men had no idea that their lives were going to be part of a bigger story and not just the story of their lives. See, that was a great day for them. God rescued them. But I bet they couldn't imagine what was going to happen next. A pagan king was going to go before his entire empire and say, there is not a God like that one. because when they trusted him, their God came through. And what we remarked on was how they trusted him. And we are living in a world, and we are living in a time where people are desperate to catch a glimpse of a God like that. We need to look beyond our own survival mode, out of our own self-preservation, and make sure that what we're showing people who are clinging to small g gods, that there is a living God who will not fail them, who they can trust. So what is your word for this coming year? Can you think about that? Can you reflect that? What needs to remind you of this faithful God we serve? Well, as we close this last service of 2020, I want to read to you from Psalm 107. And Psalm 107 is a great place to start when you want to remember who God is. It says this, "Lord, help," they cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He calmed the storm to a whisper and stilled the waves. What a blessing was that stillness as he brought them safely into harbor. And it ends with, "They will see in our history the faithful love of the Lord." May you know when to cry for help. May our faithful Savior calm your storm to a whisper and still the waves that threaten you. And may that stillness be a blessing as he brings you safely into harbor. And may all who are watching see in our history the faithful love of the Lord. There is no God who can rescue like our God.